Marek, good morning.
Good morning.
You join us because?
Because I like the idea of Auroville. Mm. And I just cycled here and looked around what kind of volunteering is possible. And I found this flyer from the radio that says they needed someone who can program and who can sound editing. And that really sounded like, yeah, that's me.
So you are a programmer?
I can program, yes.
What is your profession? Are you still a student?
No. I studied computer science. I've been working in computer industry for a couple of years. Not only doing programming, also doing other stuff. But I can do that here.
But anyhow, the path you came down is really unusual, right?
In fact, not so very unusual. If you go on this path, then you see that there are many other people doing the same thing. Yeah. Yes, the path was I more or less cycled here from Germany.
You cycle?
Yeah.
From which town?
From Leipzig, my hometown.
That is on the north, yes?
That is in the east.
In the east.
Like a bit more than 100 kilometers from Berlin. Mm.
So how many kilometers is that in all? Or can you tell us a little bit about your way down? How you did it? How many kilometers per day? What you were doing with sleeping?
Yeah, right now I'm like at, I think, 11,000 something kilometers. I started in Germany. I went through Europe, so Czech Republic, Slovakia, Austria, Hungary, Croatia, Serbia, Romania, Bulgaria, Greece. Then a long time in Turkey. Then I went through Georgia and Armenia. Then again a long time in Iran. Then I wanted to cycle through Pakistan, but they wouldn't let me in because of visa issues and security issues. So I went through Iran down to the Persian Gulf, crossed the Gulf, and went through Emirates and Oman. And unfortunately, I had to take an airplane from there to Sri Lanka. Okay. And yeah, from Sri Lanka, I took another airplane to India. And now I'm here.
Yeah, but you got your cycle with you, yeah?
Yeah, sure, all the way.
How many you did in average for a day?
Obviously, it entirely depends on like if there are mountains or if it's flat and wind and stuff. But usually, it's like 50 to 100 kilometers per day.
How long did it take you to come to? Let's say you flew from Qatar, yeah?
I flew from Oman. To Oman, it was a bit more than 6 months, 6-7 months, about that.
Wow.
Yeah. And now it's like a bit more than 8 months ago that I started at home.
And apart from Sri Lanka, actually, you flew from Sri Lanka to India?
I flew from Sri Lanka to Trivandrum. And I didn't do so much cycling in Sri Lanka because I had a visitor there. Now in India, I'm really doing cycling again. So from Trivandrum, I cycled up to Auroville.
But tell me, how you support yourself with that? Because to be out of the job for 8 months or a year?
Yeah, I had this plan since a pretty long time. So I lived a simple life and I saved some money. And now I can.
You got any sponsors?
No. You meet a lot of other cyclists on the road, and there are some that have sponsors, but I actually prefer without sponsor because I just want to enjoy the ride for myself and not be forced to like have a sponsor logo in every picture you take and this kind of stuff.
Mm. So, yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
No, I'm free, so that's a good thing.
And I'm curious how much money you spent in the last 8 months for cycling, because when you cycling, you have to sleep also somewhere, you have to eat, you have to repair your cycle.
Oh, I didn't dare to count this money yet. But I would expect something like between 5 and 10,000 euros for a whole year of doing that.
That's my salary, sir.
And I'm I have a tent, so I don't always have to sleep in hotels. Mm. And anyway, there are some places where there is no other option than sleeping in a tent. Mm. And in the end, I on the road I spent less money than I would do at home. But obviously, I don't have an income now. So,
To go on the road with cycling, you said you were preparing yourself for a few years. But are you a racer back in home?
No, not at all. And I don't have a clue about bicycles.
Really, what?
I don't have a clue about bicycles. I know how to ride a bicycle, but like if something important breaks on my bicycle, I usually don't know what to do. So
yeah, but to be on the road and in the middle of something, so how you? I believe that something did happen. Yeah.
A few things did happen, but okay, I can repair a puncture. Yeah. That's what I can do, and for the other stuff, I have to make up something. There are some things that every long-term cyclist should have, like zip ties and some tape, and usually everything can be fixed with that to a level that you at least can ride on to find proper help for everything.
Did anything happen to you on the road, like a major breakdown of the cycle or something that you had to look for the or search for the help?
Not really. Everything that happened, I could fix in a way that after like 10 minutes or so, I could ride on. I had some problem with my front carrier, which broke several times. But even that, I got fixed with some tape and some zip ties. And
what kind of bike are you riding? I mean, what kind of cycle are you cycling?
It's been built by a local company in my hometown, and it's specially built for like long term traveling. So it's huge because I'm pretty tall, and
You got a special baskets or something, the hooks you can put the all the, because you're traveling with all the gear, all the clothes and everything. Yeah,
I have everything on my bike. No, not a support car or something. there are some panniers, which I have panniers from Ortlieb, which is pretty common if you look at other people doing that. But not something custom built or something. So it's. You can just buy it in the shop.
How many, you maybe weight, how many kgs of luggage you traveling with?
A long term, I did not dare to weight it, but in the end, I did it, and it was something like 65.
The bicycle, 65 kilos.
65 kilos, which is way more than I would really need, but... I thought to myself, okay, if I start, I have to get into it anyway, and I like to have some books, and I have a small guitar, and some other stuff that you wouldn't need for survival, but it's nice to have it.
Some luxury.
Some luxury, yes. Where did we stop?
What about the people on the road?
That's a very general question. usually awesome. There are some countries where people are extremely friendly, like especially in Iran. I got invited more or less daily to someone's house, and what shall I say about it? It's
nice experience, obviously.
Traveling such a long way on bicycle is nice because you're really always out there, and you can always stop and meet people. It's not like if you would do that in a car, you are always somehow closed. I think even on a motorbike, you are just too fast to really see everything. If I'm on a bicycle and someone stands on the road and says hello, I can just stop and talk, or if you don't have a common language, still do some hand and foot talk.
Yeah. If you remember back, let's say 8 months, how was the beginning? Because I know in Europe a lot of people are cycling. Yeah, nobody is not written on your forehead that you're gonna cycle. Anyhow, where are you from here? Where are you going?
So the goal was India. So I'm nearly there. From here I will cycle up to Gujarat, because I was living there a long time ago and I want to see how it changed now. In Europe. I started in Europe. I went from my hometown towards River Danube, and along the Danube, it's kind of a cycle highway. So there are a lot of cyclists there. So obviously not as it was not like this excitement like in Turkey or Iran if there's a cyclist coming. It's just normal that there are many cyclists around. But that's okay. It was relaxed.
Yeah. And where was the most to you? And there's a probably personal taste, but which country was the most beautiful to you passing through?
I really loved Georgia, and I definitely want to go back there because I did only see a really small part of it. And initially, I hadn't even planned to go to Georgia. It was just like I was cycling through Turkey, and I saw some country on the map, and I thought maybe I can have a short look there. And then I stayed longer.
It's next to the Black Sea.
It's next to the Black Sea. Yeah.
And the lake on the other side.
Georgia borders the Black Sea, and on the eastern side it borders Azerbaijan and Armenia. Yeah. So in the end I went to Georgia, and initially I wanted to go back to Turkey, but I liked Georgia so much, so I spent a lot more time there. Then I went through Armenia and from there to Iran. So yeah, Georgia is one country where I definitely want to go back again. Iran is a fantastic country for traveling. People are extremely friendly.
Yeah, but it's really sandy. Eh? It's kind of, it's not so green as maybe Georgia or Greece or Bulgaria.
Okay. At the time when I've been there, there was no green at all, because in the more humid part of Iran, it was snowing. When I got more east and more south. I was in the desert, but still, it's really, really beautiful country, and
the people of warm hearts, yeah.
Definitely, and people are really, really excited to actually see some foreigners still coming there, because like Iran doesn't have the best image in the world, but this image doesn't have anything to do with the people that you meet there.
That's true. That's the government.
I think I didn't meet a single person in Iran that did not complain about the government. Maybe that's a common thing around the world.
Maybe, yeah.
Another time, and we will see tomorrow, and we will see tomorrow. Another time, we will see tomorrow, we will see tomorrow, 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 tomorrow.
Still, let's go to here, where we are now. You had a plan all along to go, to come to Oroville?
It's not like I had it written down somewhere, but I had it in the back of my head. That I read some articles about Oroville before starting, and I knew it's somewhere in India. And when I arrived in India, I usually don't plan so much in advance. So when I arrived in India, I just looked at the map and thought, oh, where could I go? And so Oroville seemed to be a good place to go.
If you had it in back in your head, you still probably expected something, yeah? It's my curiosity, expectations and towards the reality, what you found here.
Oh, that's hard to say, because I'm now only like 3 or 4 days here. So I definitely don't have like a real good view on overall view on Oroville yet. Yeah. Right now, I'm really excited because there is so much culture going on. I'm in the middle. Yeah. I'm not sure if that's like the normal stuff or it's because there's a festival right now. But
it's a festival. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have expected that there is something going on, but not that I will end up in at least two performances, concerts, whatever, each evening. And I'm also kind of a hobby musician, so this is something really, really great. And,
How long are you planning to stay here?
For about 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
But let's see.
So basically, your motto was vague destination. Okay, destination was India, but however, and what you will do on the road is just followed by the instinct, yeah? Go with the flow.
Yeah, exactly. Go with the flow. That's a good point.
So it might happen you will stay here for a year.
I'm not sure about that because, I did not do this whole traveling thing because I just wanted to get home from something, get away from something at home. But I just wanted to see the world. But there are still some things at home that can draw me back there. Mm. So I don't think I will stay here for a year or so.
Okay, we'll see. Time will tell. Yeah. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
We will see tomorrow. I will see you tomorrow.